It's too big for a rush job.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Inauguration Day for President-elect Barack Obama is 2 weeks from tomorrow, and he'd hoped to have a hefty stimulus package passed by Congress ready for him to sign. It probably won't happen just like that. Congressional leaders say it might take longer because the package is likely to be so big. Mr. Obama is off to Capitol Hill today to talk about more than $300 billion in tax cuts for businesses and for the middle class. Today, Congress will delve deeper into the financial forays of Bernard Madoff. He's accused of a massive $50 billion pyramid scheme fraud. Lawmakers want to know how he did it and why the Securities and Exchange Commission didn't catch it. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
The House Financial Services Committee will hear from the SEC and others today about Bernie Madoff's company. Boston University professor Mark Williams says some of Madoff's business practices should have set off regulatory red flags.
It didn't have what we call checks and balances, which you'd typically see in a broker-dealer.
Tips about Madoff's alleged scheme have trickled into the SEC since 1999, but apparently the agency failed to follow up. UNC law professor Tom Hazen says Madoff was running an investment advisory business, but he told the SEC otherwise.
His claim was he was just executing trades and not actually giving advice. Had he been regulated as an investment advisor, then there would have been a lot closer SEC scrutiny.
SEC Chairman Christopher Cox has already acknowledged multiple failures in investigating allegations about Madoff. Madoff's clients lost an estimated $50 billion. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
It is no secret the American auto industry is in dire straits. A government bailout, and not just slumping sales, abysmal sales. Today we're going to find out just how abysmal. Carmakers report December sales figures throughout the day, and they could be downright scary. Here's Marketplace's Amy Scott.
One way the auto industry measures its health is a figure called the annual selling rate. Jesse Toprak is with the auto research website Edmunds.com. He says last month the sales rate likely fell below 10 million cars and trucks for the first time in decades. That's fewer cars than we send to the junkyard each year.
If you just look at the number of cars that disappear from traffic, the old car is just getting scrapped. That's around 12.5 million cars. So with a 10 million selling rate, we're actually lowering the number of cars that are in the U.S. fleet.
Fewer cars and trucks on the roads may sound good for the planet. For the economy, not so much. There are signs the shift away from trucks and SUVs might be reversing now that gas prices have fallen back to earth. Toprak says last month, truck and SUV sales outpaced car sales for the first time all year. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The Dow is down by more than 1.25%, more than 112 points so far this morning. The NASDAQ down 1.5%. The S&P 500 down more than 1% as well. European shares are mixed this morning. London, Frankfurt, and Paris down slightly. Asian stocks rose for the most part. Hong Kong was up 3.5%. Japan was up more than 2%, the highest close for the Nikkei in 2 months. Modern-day pirates continue to roam the waters off Somalia. Just in the new year, they've attacked 5 oil and cargo ships. Experts say all the hijackings failed because of extra warships in the region. The U.S. and other allies sent those ships there, and tomorrow China gets into the act. Economically, there is a lot at stake. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
3 Chinese warships are steaming towards Somalia. It's the Navy's first combat-ready mission in 6 centuries. Beijing took notice in November when pirates hijacked an international oil tanker. China imports half its crude, much of it from the Middle East. Rory Medcalf is with the think tank the Lowy Institute in Sydney. He says it's time for Beijing to protect its cargoes.
They don't want to, if you like, outsource the security of their energy imports and so on to the United States forever.
China says its deployment is about taking responsibility, and its naval projection is part of a peaceful rise in the world. Still, Medcalf says China's neighbors are watching for any signs of military aggression.
Nobody knows precisely how a powerful China will behave. I don't even think the leaders of China know how their country might behave 20 or 30 years from now.
For now, the point is to protect shipping lanes. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Apple's Steve Jobs says a nutritional problem is making him lose weight. A pancreatic cancer survivor, there's been speculation about his health. The company announced he won't be speaking to the Macworld conference this week in San Francisco, which fueled even more rumors. This morning, in a statement, the 54-year-old Jobs says he'll undergo a simple treatment to correct the imbalance and remain head of Apple. The board says it is behind him. This is the Morning Report for Monday, January 5th, 2009, at Marketplace.org. Last week, the Federal Reserve made more than $100 billion in short-term loans, yet another way to loosen the credit markets, the move part of something the Fed calls term auction facility. It's odd-sounding, but very important to the financial world, and it's the subject of our latest Marketplace Decoder. Here's Janet Babin.
Even financial types think the term auction facility is tough territory.
I can't believe you're actually doing a story in the term auction facilities. You're very brave.
That's Jarrett Seaberg, a financial analyst at the Stanford Group. I told him it's Marketplace listeners who are brave. They want to know what this stuff is. So he goes on. The Federal Reserve has always lent banks emergency cash through its discount window. The term auction facility came into the mix when things got crazy about a year ago. It also gives banks loans, but the terms are longer, sometimes up to 84 days.
The large banks submit bids to the Federal Reserve on how much they're willing to pay to get that money, and the Federal Reserve sifts through the bids and decides who the winners are.
The auctions happen every 2 weeks, and Seaberg says we should be glad they do.
We should be singing hallelujah, because this was a desperately needed solution to a liquidity crunch at the banks.
If the banks don't have cash to lend, the economy screeches to a halt. Professor Bill Brown at Duke Law School says it's like whiny kids at the beach when all but one of their toys gets washed away.
And so what the Fed is doing with this facility is saying, we know that you're no longer sharing toys because you only have one toy each. We're going to give you more toys.
In hopes that if banks get enough toys, they'll start sharing again. But so far, that hasn't happened. Even though the Fed's been lending $150 billion every 2 weeks through the TAF program.
We should be worried that the Fed is exploding its balance sheet. We should be worried that things aren't getting better, even though we keep trying to throw more money at it.
Yeah. Can't we all go back to the beach? Maybe when the Fed closes the term auction facility, that would be a sign that the economic tide has shifted. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
American entrepreneur Frank Woolworth opened his first British store 100 years ago, and few American imports have been held with such affection. But the financial crisis, the fallout, has taken its toll, and the chain will close the last of its discount stores there. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
You can tell how the Brits feel about Woolworths from the nickname. They call it Woolies. At this store in London, customers felt sad, even guilty, about turning up for the closing down sale.
Feel a bit of a vulture at the end of the pickings. Growing up with Woolies, I remember it as a child.
It's just been there ever since I was a kid. It's a bit sad, isn't it? It's like the end of an era.
Woolworths was always a shop I used to shop at as a child.
What did you buy here as a child?
I used to buy a bag of broken biscuits for sixpence, and we used to go home, my brother and I, and we used to make a tent out of a sheet, and we used to think it was wonderful with our broken biscuits for sixpence, and that's my memories of Woolworths, and I'm very sad to see it go.
But nostalgia wasn't enough to save Woolies from a competitive onslaught. Supermarkets undercut the chain in household goods, toys and clothing, and the internet finally killed off Woolies' music sales. All that was really left was confectionery, says analyst Robert Clark.
it just didn't work anymore, and it didn't really stand for much, and really it became reduced to sort of the biggest sweet shop in the world, and that's just not good enough. You can't make enough profit doing just that.
Woolies might have staggered on, but for the credit crunch. Just before Christmas, banks called in their loans. Woolies couldn't pay up and declared bankruptcy. Many more British stores are going the same ways, as analyst Jonathan DeMello.
Going forwards, there's a number of other potential retailers that are going to fall by the wayside, and at the moment we're forecasting that maybe one in ten retail sites may become vacant in January. So it's a pretty dire time, really, for retailers.
Hopes of a last-minute reprieve for Woolies are waning fast. There has been a flurry of bidding, but only on eBay, for souvenirs, like staff uniforms, closing down posters and other bits of Woolies memorabilia. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Once again, things down stateside on the markets. Dow down more than a percent. More at marketplace.org. The numbers, we're podcasting there as well in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.